Fast food has never been good food, but it was a quick, easy, reliable, and cheap way to get a meal that appealed to people who were time poor or just, well, you know, actually poor. Mass layoffs, increasing economic uncertainty, deferred student loan payments kicking in, and spiking levels of consumer debt should be the perfect opportunity for these cheap offerings to bring in customers who don't have much money to spare, but still want to eat. For a long time, companies like McDonald's, Domino's, KFC, Taco Bell, and Wendy's were considered recession-proof, because even in the most dire of circumstances, people still need to eat, and the companies typically offered the best exchange rate of dollars to calories in the market. But that's changed. In a business move that can only be described as confusing, these brands have responded to cost-conscious, busy, and desperate consumers by becoming more expensive, slower, and less reliable. Unsurprisingly, sales across the industry have plummeted at a time when they should be outperforming. It would almost be comical if they weren't collectively some of the largest employers in the country. However, the mid-recession has been caused by more than some management missteps. It's a clear sign of some much bigger problems in the wider economy.
You know, it's supposed to be cheap, quick, and an easy option.
I personally stopped eating out at fast food for me because it got so expensive, it wasn't worth the money.
McDonald's posted its biggest U.S. sales decline in nearly 5 years.
I buy the McChicken sandwich. It's $3, almost $4.
It's also hitting what traditionally had become the cheaper option. But for many, that's no longer the case.
Okay, so before we get into the fast food industry as the canary in the coal mine for much larger structural economic problems, there is something more important you need to understand. Fast food locations used to be fun. Pizza Huts looked like actual huts, Chuck E. Cheese had rodent-themed decor, and McDonald's was full of bright colors, escaped convicts, and nightmare-inducing clowns. That's clearly changed, and now almost any fast food store you go into is the same generic style of nondescript, boxy modern commercial building. This has happened for a few reasons that are each very revealing about the broader direction the industry has gone. The first reason is that children have become less important to overall business demand. In the good old days, companies would advertise directly to children in the hopes they would effectively become little sales representatives and throw a shit fit until their parents gave in and took them to get some deep-fried slop. Regulations around advertising to children and a general cultural shift away from feeding children too much unhealthy food means that companies can't rely on this market as much anymore, though. According to a YouGov survey, Americans between the ages of 18 and 34 are now the largest consumers of fast food, with 42% reporting they consume it several times a week. Demographic shifts means this age group is now less likely to have children of their own, so the extra money and maintenance on custom storefronts isn't worth it since a ball pit is unlikely to appeal to most 20-somethings. No shame, though. Shifting consumer trends are one thing, but the bigger reason is that restaurant locations have become far less important and much more interchangeable. According to market data from the consulting firm McKinsey & Company, people are now almost twice as likely to order food through a delivery service like Uber Eats or DoorDash than they are to physically sit in a fast food restaurant and eat their meal. Fast food locations are increasingly just becoming distribution centers for Postmate drivers, so maybe we shouldn't be surprised that they have started looking like Amazon warehouses. Anyway, alongside ingredients and staffing, the real estate these restaurants sit atop is simultaneously the largest expense in most locations as well as being a significant asset. As the story goes, Ray Kroc, the man responsible for scaling McDonald's into a global fast food empire, figured out that he wasn't in the burger business. He was in the real estate business. To this day, for the majority of fast food locations, most of the money is made by the commercial real estate. The restaurant that sits on the land is basically just a tenant producing cash flows. It doesn't matter if the tenant is a Wendy's or a McDonald's. So stores have become more uniform to lower the cost of construction and the risk of having an unusual building that nobody else wants to rent if a franchise moves out. So if you want to know why fast food restaurants look so boring these days, you can blame real estate speculation, shifting socioeconomics, and middleman technology, something of a recurring theme on this channel. Now anyway, this whole game only works if these businesses still bring in cash, and to do that they need to move some hamburgers. The trouble is, that's getting really hard. Fast food prices have increased significantly beyond inflation. According to data collected from Finance Buzz, the average McDonald's menu item is now twice as expensive as it was 10 years ago. This trend is partially because fast food items used to be artificially cheaper than they should have been. When people would order in-store, there was more opportunity to upsell them to larger meal sizes and tack on higher margin extras like desserts and drinks, so they could make their staple menu items cheaper to attract customers. Now, ingredients and rent has become more expensive, and on top of that, restaurants need to give a significant portion of their top-line revenue to delivery companies. To maintain their margins, they had to raise prices, and their pivot to more premium branding was a way to justify this change without acknowledging that getting food hand-delivered is a luxury with inherent increased costs. Fast food companies aren't allowed to directly offer lower prices in their stores than they do via delivery apps, even though they don't have the additional expenses. So they have had to become sneaky and offer various meal deals so that in-restaurant customers can get better deals if they are willing to navigate through deals via their own apps and pick out in-store meal combinations. If you are a savvy Mick connoisseur and you are willing to sit down, do the math, and make the most of various deals on the company-run fast food apps and in-store offers, you can end up paying half as much for the same food as someone who just turned their brain off and poked at the cheeseburger pictures they wanted on their delivery app of choice. This has made shopping for fast food increasingly confusing and time-consuming, which is exactly the opposite reason why customers go to these companies in the first place. Now, the companies are not exactly blameless victims in this trend. Bloated and confusing menus and premium offerings had the potential to extract the most possible money out of the widest spectrum of customers, from the rich and lazy to the poor and savvy. But now, the market has turned against them, and this clever little business model could be their undoing. So it's time to learn how money works to find out if fast food companies have cooked themselves. This week's video is sponsored by Storyblocks. If you've ever had to piece together stock footage clip by clip, you know how fast those costs can add up, and how frustrating it is to track down exactly what you need. Storyblocks takes that stress out of the process by offering unlimited downloads of high-quality stock video, music, sound effects, templates, and more, all for one predictable subscription price. We've used it for everything, from last-minute B-roll to motion graphics to save us hours in post. Having everything in one place just makes our workflow faster and lets us stay focused on the creative. Plus, all of the content is royalty-free with clear-cut licensing, so we never have to worry about copyright claims or surprises later on. If you're a creator looking to level up your production without blowing your budget, Storyblocks is seriously a game-changer. To get started with unlimited stock media downloads at one set price, head over to storyblocks.com/howmoneyworks or click the link in the description. So, it's not all bad news. As Q1 earnings have been revealed, some brands have actually increased their sales. Taco Bell, which is owned by the conglomerate Yum Brands, increased average store sales by 9% compared to last year. This success has been attributed almost exclusively to the company's Lux Boxes, which have become what fast food used to be, a large quantity of food with a lot of calories for not very much money. Even though the industry declined overall, Taco Bell grew because it attracted customers priced out of other options. The company's own CEO boasted on the earnings call that the company's performance was thanks to massive wins with low-income consumers. Yum Brands, which also owns chains like KFC and Pizza Hut, does not invest heavily into real estate like McDonald's, and instead rents most of their locations from third-party commercial landlords. This means that when picking a location to open a store, they don't have to worry about the underlying fundamentals of the area and the real estate market. They can focus exclusively on what locations are going to bring in the most foot traffic. This also lets brands operate in locations that would otherwise be considered undesirable by real estate investors with a side hustle in burgers. Across the rest of the industry, though, fast food as a whole has largely lost ground to people just choosing to cook from home. I know this isn't exactly groundbreaking news to you watching, but food has become kind of expensive. The key demographics of young workers that consume fast food are the same people who are getting laid off first, and statistically have less savings to get them through periods of reduced income. These people also, on average, have more debt to manage outside of a residential mortgage. By now, you have probably seen the memes about being able to split your burrito purchase into 4 easy installments using Klarna through DoorDash. Now, this has probably been blown out of proportion, as Klarna is just a payment processor that a lot of people are more comfortable with over a credit card or a bank transfer. But it's a humorous way to acknowledge the more serious issue that people are going into debt just to keep up, and new platforms like this are making it easier than ever to do. Klarna and similar services now represent an extra $700 billion worth of consumer debt that isn't being officially recorded, on top of over $1 trillion in credit card debt and student debt, which people now actually need to pay again. So people are short on cash, but these companies are also losing another group of consumers. Fast food has typically been popular with people who just didn't have that much time after working a long shift and then spending an hour or more commuting. But even that has become less of a selling point. Fast food is not that fast anymore. Average wait times have increased significantly, which means unless you are willing to pay the premium to get food delivered, it's almost faster to cook some basic food for yourself. Now, fast food getting slower has happened for 2 reasons. The first is that larger menus make it harder to prepare food in advance and keep it ready to be instantly handed over. Now, this also means that food is prepared to order, which is nice. Apart from the second reason, Fast food turnover is higher than it's ever been, and overall staff care is low because people simply do not value these jobs as much as they once did. Now, expecting people to go above and beyond for a minimum wage job at a fast food franchise is clearly a bit dumb, but it's getting harder to find people that want to do the job at all. Once again, fast food companies have kind of been outmaneuvered by the delivery apps. Minimum wage workers now have more options, and delivering food and answering to an algorithm is more attractive to a lot of people than cooking food and answering to the power-tripping shift manager. Of course, the obvious solution is to just pay people more, and some companies are basically being forced to do that, but then they either need to raise their prices even further or cut into already razor-thin margins. These companies are investing a lot of money into automated kitchens to cut down on staff before they get too much negotiating power. But that technology is still in its infancy, and these brands have shareholders to answer to now. If they raise prices anymore, they will also be competing directly with slightly more upmarket fast casual dining, and even local independent restaurants, which are getting harder to differentiate from. Longer wait times and a slightly more expensive menu is expected at these stores. For people who want convenience and are willing to pay a few extra dollars for it, they can just order from these more upmarket restaurants off the apps as well. People who aren't worried about paying a $5 delivery fee and 20% delivery tip also aren't going to think twice about paying a few extra dollars to get chef-prepared food over a barely assembled McChicken. For everybody else, the struggles of the cheapest restaurant is a sign of a pretty bleak financial reality. Most of the CEOs that presented poor earnings for this quarter acknowledged tough economic times for people choosing to eat takeaway less, concluding that cooking from home has become much more popular for people looking to make their money go further. Now, individually, this is a fantastic trend. Unless you are an extremely high-income earner or working an equally extreme schedule, cooking for yourself is one of the best things you can do to improve your health and personal finances. So if you can do it, you probably should do it. But for society at large, when fast food becomes a luxury, that should raise a few alarm bells. Grocery store food has also become much more expensive, and more people than ever now work multiple full-time jobs, so finding the time amongst that schedule to also prepare food is hard. That's also ignoring that according to US Census data, around 9% of households below the federal poverty level don't have an adequately functioning kitchen at all. Yes, a lot of people are choosing to cook from home instead of ordering some Kentucky Fried carbs, and that's good, but a lot of people are just skipping meals altogether, and that's bad. A survey conducted by Credit Karma found that more than a quarter of respondents admitted to skipping meals because of rising grocery costs. This survey was also conducted on people who are using a credit score tracking service, so the population sample is probably doing better than the true average. Now, this has the potential to cause a feedback loop in low-income communities, because fast food is one of the country's largest employers. Outside of Walmart, Yum! Brands and McDonald's are the second and third largest employers of American workers. They may not be the most desirable jobs in the world, but they provide some income to millions of people. If restaurants start closing down, that could quickly become a huge unemployment problem amongst people with the least financial security to begin with. Now, the story is not much better for these companies outside of America either. Most people around the world are struggling with the same financial realities of increased living costs and economic uncertainty. On top of that, America isn't exactly the most popular kid on the block at the moment. Brands like McDonald's, KFC, and Starbucks are struggling with a general anti-American sentiment across most of their markets as people are choosing to support their local chains over the unashamedly American businesses. According to McDonald's own market survey, they found an increase in people in various markets saying they're going to be cutting back on purchases of American brands. Now, companies delivering poor financial news to their shareholders always comes armed with some excuses, but this is clearly a major shift in consumer behavior right when they can least afford it. Now, there is a growing group of consumers that unfortunately fast food isn't particularly good at taking advantage of. Go and watch this video next to find out how some Americans got so good at buying shit. And make sure to like and subscribe to keep on learning how money works.